Hey, hey, hey. Hello, everybody.
Okay, all right. How's everybody doing? Running a little bit late, a few minutes late, but we're here. Hope everyone is doing good. You had a fantastic day, and that you are yet trusting the timing of God in your situation and in your circumstance. This is indeed, of course, the day that the Lord has made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. Let us know the sound is clear and that you are on board. And we certainly thank God for each of you. Well, this has been another glorious day. Have you gotten adjusted to this daylight savings time
No,
yet?
I have not. I am sleepy right now.
Okay. You done wasted the time. You didn't give me a chance to finish asking the question before you came up with that answer.
Yep, I am sleepy.
All right. Well, it takes a couple of days for us to get, you know, acclimated, but I like it when it's longer at night, but it needs to just stay one particular time frame. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. Don't go back. Just stay like this for forever.
Forever?
Yeah.
And ever?
And ever.
And ever?
Amen.
And amen. All right. Well, we're in the, we're going to close out one portion of Genesis, and we finished up with several chapters last week, but we're going to close out with chapter 25 tonight. Is that correct, Lady Kim?
Yeah, but I didn't bring my 25.
We had finished
25.
Did we finish? No, we stopped at 25 and we're going to go into it.
Okay.
But we decided not to, and we're just going to get a fresh start tonight. But if you want,
we can do that.
If you I know
that.
your memory is of such where you don't need to go get it. You left last time and had to go get something. Do you need to go get it?
No, we're good. You here, you can
okay.
Handle it.
All right, but this is going to be an interesting chapter, and not so much a chapter, but an interesting part of Genesis that we're going to get into tonight. We're going to close out that first part of Genesis, what we did, the first 25 chapters. And then tonight we're going to get into a very interesting part where it deals with Jacob. Because you had indicated there were three main characters that we were going to look at through this process as we close out Genesis. And we finished up with Abraham, and we'll see tonight that this 25th chapter really deals with his death and him exiting off of the scene. Of course, Sarah exited off in the 24th chapter.
Right.
And now we see Abraham completing his assignment. Mm-hmm. But before we go any further, we're going to have prayer. And we encourage those of you who are on to go ahead and just pull out your Bibles. And we're going to look at 25, 26, 27, and 28.
Oh, you're ambitious tonight.
I'm just trying to wake you up. You
ambitious
said you were sleeping.
Tonight.
So,
okay.
All right. But let's say a prayer, and then we're going to jump right in. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we do thank you for this day. We thank you for our lives. Thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for being God all by yourself. Thank you for renewing and refreshing us. Thank you for your word energizing us. Well, we know that your word gives us strength. It gives us power. Your word, as a matter of fact, increases our faith. And so we claim victory even tonight, that we're going to be renewed because of this time that you've afforded us to spend together around your word. And so bless each person on this particular virtual Bible study and those who will hear it later. And so we love you and we honor you. And we thank you now for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and praise
amen,
God.
Amen.
All right. So this is the 15th day of March, and it's getting right on out of here, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
It just started, and now we're halfway through it. Isn't that something?
Time waits on no man. I used to say the old folks say, but now I realize I am old folks.
Uh-oh.
So time waits on no man or woman.
That's right.
So, yeah.
And we see the seasons changing right before our eyes. Mm-hmm. This has been a beautiful, past week.
Yes.
The temperatures have really been nice. It looked like it's spring outside and the flowers.
Spring is coming soon, the 20th of March.
Yeah.
So we have 20th or the 21st?
I think it's the 21st.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So about five or six more days until spring.
But, you know, we were talking yesterday about how God is so designed, even the trees, they know when it's time to bloom and to blossom, and they start to come out. Some trees are already bringing forth their buds and getting ready to come forth. And so it's an interesting thing and an interesting time of the year. And I love this time of the year as well as the fall season. I love summer, but fall and spring are probably my first two choices as it relates to the seasons of the year.
Okay.
So what about you?
I like spring and summer.
Spring and summer?
Yes.
Okay. What about winter? Now, you can't handle it?
Can't do winter.
I was talking to my friend today in Denver.
They had a major snowstorm, I heard.
Yeah, and so he's saying they're dealing with 2 to 3 feet of snow.
Wow.
Not inches, but feet. Yeah.
They got dumped on.
And one of the things I found out, not to prolong this, when I talked to him, he was sharing with me that there's an ordinance that the people, they have to clear their sidewalks after it snows.
Right.
If not, they'll be fine. They can be fine because if somebody walks down their sidewalk in front of their house and get injured, then that person can sue the homeowner.
Right.
Because they were negligent in terms of clearing their, I didn't know that.
Yeah, same way in Chicago.
The same way in Chicago.
That's why you have to get out and shovel the snow.
Gotta go get it.
Gotta get it off.
Well, you know, we brought our snow shovel with us when we came from Michigan. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yes.
We sold a snow, how many snow blowers did we have? One or two?
One.
We sold that, I mean, not stole it, but sold it. And people were glad to get it because we hadn't had that snow blower too long, had we?
No, we had just purchased it.
About a year or maybe even less than a year before we moved. But no, it's a whole different monster and mindset in the climates where it snows all the time. And that was probably the second time we've used that snow shovel since we've been here.
Mm-hmm.
Over a period of 20 years, better than 20 years. Second time probably we've used it. All right, enough of all of that, but we praise God for each of you. Let us know that you're there, and let us know that the sound is coming in. We see Sister Amelia, and who is that, Sister Barbara? And y'all just let us know the sound is coming in.
They say it can hear clearly.
Okay, can hear clearly. All right. Lady Kim is going to just give us a brief update in terms of what happened yesterday in the worship experience. It was a high time of praise, and we had a great time in worship. What did you glean from the experience on yesterday?
Well, you continued in 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, and you focused in on the first verse.
Okay.
And again, you preached on that same, from that same text the last two Sundays.
Okay.
But this particular Sunday on yesterday, you talked about for Jonathan's sake.
Mm-hmm.
For Jonathan's sake. And I don't have the scripture pulled up right now, but a couple of the points that you had, the first point was we stand on the shoulder of those who have gone before us.
Okay.
And so the story of Mephibosheth, we know, for those of you who are joining who are not familiar, Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan.
That's right.
And Jonathan was David's best friend.
Right.
Jonathan was the son of King Saul.
Okay.
Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle.
Right, right.
And so Jonathan had a son, Mephibosheth.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan had a kind of pact with his best friend, David, that
right.
if anything happened to me, you take care of my family. And if anything happens to you, I'm going to take care of your family. And
that
enough,
was long before he became king, too.
Right, long before David became king.
Okay, okay.
You know, and so once David became king,
okay,
then he went back and said, you know, is there anybody of the house of Jonathan? You know, was looking for his children.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about Mephibosheth.
That I could show kindness to him.
Yeah, he said, so I can show
kindness. For Jonathan's
kindness.
Sake.
Yeah.
That's really that first verse right there.
Right.
Uh-huh. That's what it says. You're paraphrasing, but that's probably one of the translations of what it says right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what you came, you know, the spinoff from the sermon was for Jonathan's sake. Is there anyone of the house that I can show kindness towards for Jonathan's sake. And so Mephibosheth, his nurse was running with him when he was a baby, mm-hmm. trying to protect him while they were, I guess, at war. And she dropped him and he was crippled.
Right.
And so David sought out Mephibosheth.
Okay.
Mephibosheth was not doing too well. You mm-hmm. know, he lived in poverty and he even thought of himself as a dog.
Okay.
But David told him, no, you come on up here. And he brought him in and treated him kindly. And so one of your points was we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. Mm-hmm. So Mephibosheth was able to gain a blessing from David simply because David was friends with his father, mm-hmm. Jonathan.
So he was a beneficiary of a blessing that he was not really connected to in a real sense, but he was just a recipient of a beneficiary of what the two, David and Jonathan, had agreed on.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's like us too. You
right,
know,
right.
we don't have anything to do with some of the blessings that come our way.
That's
it's
right.
Because of our grandparents or our parents and things that they put in place that we're able to reap blessings from that. I know one of the things that, one of the blessings that I reaped years ago was that my mother bought the two vacant lots next mm-hmm. to our house in Chicago. And as a result, you know, when my brother and sister and I decided to sell the home house, we also owned the two vacant lots next to it. So nothing we had done, you know,
right.
all inheritance from my mother and my mother's good stewardship,
okay.
were we able to reap the blessings of that. And that's just like Mephibosheth. And your other point was don't allow the unforgiveness of others to keep you from being a blessing.
Okay, okay.
So,
well, Mephibosheth, you know, he was not that five-year-old baby once David finally caught up with
him.
Oh, no. And he was living in poverty. He was living in Lodabar, which was characterized as a place of low living, low aim. People were not moving into Lodabar. They were moving out. And the people around Mephibosheth had been in his mind and in his ear telling him that since David, you know, nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about your dad. Used to be the grandson of King Saul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you living down here in poverty and, you know, the King David, he's got a lot to do with this. And so there was anger and frustration in Mephibosheth's heart for David, and he hadn't even had a chance to meet him.
Hmm.
And so that unforgiveness was there. Hmm. I mean, the unforgiveness was locked into Mephibosheth. And so David released a powerful blessing over his life and didn't allow the unforgiveness of Mephibosheth to hinder him from being a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so it's important that's an important lesson for us even today, because many times we hold grudges and we hold things against people, and we don't want to release the blessing that God has called forth for us to be. We're blessed to be a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And when God positions and puts us in a situation where we can be a blessing, then we ought to do it.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree with me on
that? That's right. That's right. We ought to be a blessing whenever we can.
Okay.
And sometimes we need to bless people unexpectedly.
Yeah.
You know, seek out people that we can bless.
Okay.
Unexpectedly. You know, when a person is not looking for it, there we are, you know, with
wow.
a blessing in hand. And I think when we seek out to bless people, we're blessed in abundance
That's
as
right.
well.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And then your last point was the same grace that was extended to Mephibosheth is the same grace extended to us today.
Okay.
And you know, we can look back at how Jesus
mm-hmm.
sacrificed his life for us,
mm-hmm.
you know, for our sake.
That's right.
You know, he extended his grace and mercy towards us so that we can have eternal life.
That's right.
And so because of what Christ did on the cross, we need to extend that same grace to other people.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's great. That's a great wrap up, Lady Kim. Thank you. You were taking notes on yesterday and paying attention, huh?
I always
do. All right. I know one Sunday you had to leave, but you dead on it tonight. But thank you for your excellent recaps each Monday. Am I putting you on the spot when I ask you to do that?
Every Monday. Every Monday.
See there? All right. Let's go ahead and jump into this. We're in the 25th chapter of Genesis, and we're going to stick and move tonight. We're going right into the 26, 27, and we might get to 28, but I'm not going to. Lady Kim already indicated that she had a rough day today, and you can see she was trying to. She was up there debating whether she was going to get in the bed or just sit on the side of the bed. But I don't know what happened.
I was talking myself into not laying down. Do not lay down. If I lay down, that's
it. It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be over. Okay.
All right. This 25th chapter. Last week, we talked in the 24th chapter about Sarah. She passes away. Mm-hmm. Abraham had to buy property in order to bury his wife. Mm-hmm. And he grieved, and that was a process that happened in the 24th chapter. And I think she was, 107 years old or something? Let me
flip that. 127. Yes, I believe so.
Let's see. Chapter number 24. That's not it. Here it is. She was
looking through our notes here.
Seemed like we wrote that down, though.
I wrote it on my paper. I had it highlighted on my paper, but I don't have it.
She was chapter 23.
Yeah. 127
years old, mm-hmm, when she died. And, you know, it tells us a lot about expectancy and not you know, many times we allow chronological age to pretty much dictate whether or not we feel God is through with us. Mm. But as long as we're still living, as long as we still have breath, then God can use us at 80 just like he can use us
at
40.
Do
you believe that?
Yes, I believe that.
And so lift your hands and receive this blessing. And so we have to be mindful of that, because Sarah is a primary example of her giving birth at an old, she was old in age, her and her husband, but she lived to be 127 years old, and she was able to see her son while she was in the process of seeing him get ready to receive his bride. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yes.
And then Isaac, of course, went through that whole process. That's just a little recap for mm-hmm. you. But the 25th chapter, it starts out with Abraham and after Sarah's death, in the promise of Abraham, the father of many nations, moving from the first generation to the second generation, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I learned something. Well, I guess I did. I'll be transparent here. I did learn something new. Mm-hmm. All these years, I knew it said that Abraham would be the father of many nations, but I never remember reading that he remarried. Mm-hmm. After the death of his wife, Sarah mm-hmm. Abraham married again.
Right.
And, you know, we talked about Abraham. He
was older than Sarah.
He had 100 years old. He had a baby. Now, she died at 127. She was 90
right.
when she had the baby.
Right.
127 when she died.
Right.
So we're talking about Abraham as, you know.
When he died, he was up in there.
He was 175 when he died.
Isn't that
something? But he remarried after Sarah died. And he his new wife's name was Keturah.
Mm-hmm.
He had 6 children by Keturah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. So Abraham had it going on there.
He wasn't wasting no time, was he?
He wasn't wasting any time, but Isaac was still the seed of promise.
Right, right, right.
Everything still went to Isaac. Okay. Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. He had other children, but he gave all that he had to Isaac.
Okay. And so we see that after all of that process, Abraham, He lives to be 175 years old. And then his son Isaac and Ishmael, they buried him, of course, and they purchased the land that Abraham had purchased for Sarah's burial.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And what I found interesting is that Isaac and Ishmael, mm-hmm. you know,
they
Ishmael was, yes, mm-hmm. Ishmael was, you know, the was Abraham's son by his Sarah's handmaiden. But Isaac came next, who was the seed of promise from mm-hmm. Sarah. But it was interesting to me that Isaac and Ishmael, half brothers, were able to come together. And hopefully, you know, you have to read in between the lines a lot of time because all the information is not there. But hopefully they got along well.
Mm-hmm. Well, they each received, they were beneficiaries of an inheritance.
Of an inheritance.
And promised a part of the, even though Isaac was the primary seed bearer of the promise, Ishmael was able to receive land as well,
mm-hmm.
and he was blessed in that whole process. And so Ishmael died when he was about 137 years
yes,
old.
Yes, he did.
Isn't that
and
something?
Ishmael had 12 sons.
He had 12 sons?
Yes, 12 sons, you know. We talked about that a little bit earlier, too. But Ishmael had 12 sons, and he died when he was 137. So they had longevity back then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So this whole 25th chapter really focuses in on the death of Abraham, of course, and how it talks about the promise of, you know, the inheritance going to the older son
mm-hmm.
that was Esau back with Jacob, I mean, not Jacob, but Isaac.
Isaac.
And then he also talked about what we're going to find out tonight is how this whole thing, this trick, how
deception
mm-hmm. began to come into play.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the lessons I think that's important as we move to chapter 26 is that with God, imperfect or imperfection can have a new beginning as well.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we think that when we fall short or when we don't cross all of the T's and dot all of the I's and we don't live to the place where we should be and we find ourselves not being able to fulfill all of the things that God requires of us, I think a lot of times you see that people give up and they lose sight of the fact that God still extends grace even in our imperfections mm-hmm. and in our wretchedness.
Mm-hmm.
And God blesses whom he wants to bless, and he uses who he wants to use when he wants to use them.
Amen. 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 There was a question here that says, are biblical years equivalent to our years of today? I guess we're talking about age-wise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer to that. Maybe that's something that we need to look into.
Yeah.
How the years back then, if they're equivalent to the same number of years.
Was it 6 months or was it 12
right,
months?
Right,
or
right.
How did they get
right.
to live?
Because
as
we're
long?
Only, in the Bible, it says we're promised 70,
mm-hmm.
which is 70 years.
Right.
And how were these people able to live way beyond those 70
right.
years?
And that's a good question, Sister Gwen. We'll do some research and try to come up with something for next week. And I know you will as well, but if we were together in a group, that would be an assignment that I would ask Sister Gwen to go ahead and dig into and report back next week.
And
but,
she can still do that.
Huh? You think she'll be able to do it on this virtual?
Yeah.
Huh? All right. Sister Gwen, are you still there?
She's still there listening. Go ahead and research that and or she can text it to us or email it to us.
Okay. All right.
That'll be good.
All right. I'm holding my tongue on that one. So we'll just wait till next week and we'll have the report from Sister Gwen. Did she say anything? Did she respond?
Angela Blakely said, I believe the years are the same. We have had to learn how to die because God intended for us to live forever. Okay, we're gonna check
yeah,
into
we're
that.
Gonna check
Thank
it.
You,
yeah.
Sister Angela, for that.
Thank you so much. Now tonight, as we close out 25, that's the first part of this whole Genesis story. And Lady Kim, I think when we first began it, you talked about how everything that we learn or that we know about in the New Testament has its connection to the Old Testament, and how Genesis is the driving force. All of these stories, all of the things that transpired here really feeds the rest of the Bible, and how important it is for us to really get a sense of understanding what's happening. And these are stories that they are drama filled stories.
Yes, they are.
They are stories that could very easily be transferred into 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
All of the things that happened. And so that first part comes to a close, and now we're getting ready to go into the second part. What were you saying about those main characters that are going to really kind of be emphasized in these last chapters that we're going to go through in these last parts of the Bible?
Well, Genesis? Now we're going to start talking about Isaac and Jacob, and Isaac, Jacob, and Esau.
Mm-hmm.
And their family.
Okay.
So we're going to talk a lot about them in chapters 26 through 36.
Mm-hmm.
And chapters 26 through 36 provides information about Isaac and his twin sons, Jacob and Esau.
Okay.
And God blesses Isaac blesses Isaac and Jacob with Abraham's blessing. It includes details on Jacob leaving Canaan, marrying Leah and Rachel in Mesopotamia, his 12 sons and one daughter, wrestling with an angel, and returning to Canaan and being named Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in chapters, that gives you kind of a synopsis of what we're going to talk about in chapters 26 through 36.
Okay.
You know, we too easily forget that the Bible shows us so plainly that we are all baddies and in need of God's grace. You know, we some awful folks, and we try to pretend like we're so holier than thou, but we all need God.
Mm-hmm.
We all need God. You know, and one of the things recently that happened is, and some people may have heard that Kirk Franklin's son recorded him in an altercation that they had over the phone. And Kirk Franklin was heard, you know, cursing at his son and saying some, you know, not so Christian-like things. And some people got on and were talking about Kirk is a Christian and he shouldn't be talking like that. And, you know, but we all sin and fall short of God's glory. You know, who are we to point the finger at somebody else because they said a few choice words in the heat of anger? You know, and I saw where somebody says, we better hope God doesn't replay our tape recording, you know. So I said all that to say, we all are bad. You know, mm-hmm. We all are in need of God's
old
grace.
Oh, wretched man, Paul said.
Oh, wretched man that I am.
Yeah,
that's
who
what
can
Paul
deliver
said.
Me.
Yes.
And, you know, Lady Kim, I don't know if you had a chance, since you brought that up about Kirk Franklin, and many people probably have already had a chance to hear the tape. But I researched it today, and I heard the tape. Did you get a chance to hear it?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he was pretty, he was down in there. He was all the way up in there, like he was like, yeah.
Like he
okay.
was in the street.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Them cheerers can make you go there, okay? No excuses, but those cheering, like my mother-in-law used to say, the cheerings can make you go there. Your children can, your children, your significant mm-hmm. others, sometimes mm-hmm. they can bring out the worst in you, you know?
All right. Why you keep cutting your eye over here at me when you saying that now? I'm trying to figure this out.
Because I can't cut it nowhere else.
Okay. All right. Just trying to follow. I'm trying to follow your lead now. But you're right. Mm-hmm. And so the hard thing about it is that his son had ulterior motives, and he was there's obviously something else was going on that we didn't hear on the tape or we didn't hear before or
right,
some things that
right.
happened leading up to that.
Absolutely.
And so he was trying to probably get some money out of his dad. That's what it sounded like. The conversation was going there. And so Kurt put him, he went all the way in and did him, you know, and turned him over and flipped him and all of that. I said, okay, all right.
Yeah, and you know, that happens when, you know, children are privileged. Mm-hmm. You know, they think they're entitled
to
what the parent has.
Right, right.
You know, and they're not entitled to anything but trying to go out and make a way of life for themselves.
Right.
So I didn't hear it, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm just going on hearsay.
Right.
But, I, you know, in the end, we all need God's
grace.
That's
right, that's right.
Nobody is better than, no person is better than the next person. When you point your finger at somebody else, you have three fingers pointing back at you.
That's right.
So, you know, it behooves us to talk about anybody
mm-hmm.
because we all need the grace of God.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
We can't forget that we're in need of God's grace. But the stories in Scripture are here to show us how God keeps his promises despite human inadequacy.
Right, right, right.
The failings of God's people cannot make God fail. I said it again. The failings of God's people cannot make God fail.
That's good.
He will work through inadequate people. Although the characters do not deserve God's grace, the stories show us that he is a God of grace and thus the chief character in our study.
Wow.
So we always want to spend that focus back on God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we can get caught up in the characters and what they're doing and what they're not doing and how they're behaving. But in the end, it's God's grace that continues to be shown. God's favor continued to be shown towards mankind.
That's that word grace again coming
grace,
up. And so
grace, grace.
We all stand in need of it and we all need God's grace to help us. And we're fortunate and we're blessed that God has extended favor toward us, even in our wretched state. The Bible tells us that he so loved us, even while we were yet sinners, that he died that we might have life and have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're fortunate and we're blessed. And we still, and you know, sometimes people will use that as an excuse, Reverend. And Paul talks about that over in Romans about how people use the grace of God because they know that God's going to extend the grace. They'll usurp that whole
mm-hmm.
process
mm-hmm.
and say, well, I can get away with this and I can get away with that. But time is filled with swift transition.
Yes, it is.
You don't know when God's going to call you home. You don't need to be out there on the tightrope or trying to play both sides of the fence and jumping back and going forward. And, you know, because you might get caught out there. But when you know better, you ought to do better.
Amen.
And when God has given us an opportunity to be forgiven, the Bible says that we confess our sins. He's faithful. He's just. And he will forgive us of our unrighteousness. And so we have to make sure that we're obedient and don't get fooled by the tricks of the enemy, because that's part of the ploys of the enemy, and we have to know the techniques, and we have to understand what the enemy is trying to do to hinder us from moving in the right direction and walking in our destiny that God has ordained.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Okay. You know, there are a lot of repeats in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by repeat, you see a different character repeating the same behaviors.
That's right.
Genesis is about moral ambiguity, problematic character of human reason, speech, freedom, intimate desires, love of the beautiful, strong guilt, anger, man's response to morality, the vexed relationships between man and woman and brother and father and son and neighbor and stranger and man to God. So there's a lot of repetition there, and as we go through the remainder of Genesis, we're going to see that repeat over again. And then what also repeats is how God brings order.
Right,
the
right.
Spirit of the Lord appears
mm-hmm.
amongst all of this as it repeats. And the stories in Genesis show us not so much what happened, but it shows us what always happens.
Right, right.
There's a pattern. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. Things repeat itself over and over. We repeat because we can hold up a mirror and discover in ourselves the reasons why human life is so bittersweet and why the uninstructed human beings generally get it wrong. There is indeed a moral and spiritual education for the reader in Genesis.
Okay.
God did not dream an illusion, but he created a reality.
A reality, that's right. And part of what we see here as repeats is part of the process that happens even in our own lives. Even though we have all of this information right in front of us, people who are not obedient and who are not studying the word, they find themselves falling back into the same traps.
Amen.
That God has already given us clear examples of what we should and should not do.
That's right.
And the enemy would use all of this to his advantage because he knows when we are not adequately prepared and spiritually grounded in the word of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. What happens in this 26th chapter then, Lady Kim? And we might not be able to get to everything that we thought we were going to be able to get to tonight.
I told you at the beginning, 28. Yeah. Okay, we all. No, I'm just messing with you.
All right.
Yeah, but again, we're talking about repeats.
Uh-huh.
You know, like father, like son.
Like father, like son.
Yeah, the focus.
Sister Gwen made the statement, was that her report for next
no,
week?
No, uh-uh. Okay. She said if Jesus could go in the temple and whip because the temple was being disrespected, then certainly we can use harsh measures to correct our children when they are disrespectful.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And you know, Proverbs talks about, you know,
spare the rod.
Spare the rod or spare not the rod or and I don't know exactly which verse or chapter in Proverbs, but it's one of them says, if you beatest a child with the rod, he shall not surely die. So that means that they need to be disciplined when they're young.
Reverend.
So yeah.
All right, I see you. You flexing over there. Right now.
Yes, children should not disrespect.
Yeah, when we were growing up, if you got out of order, and most people who are, you know, born in the 50s and 60s and 70s, no.
Mm-mm.
Our parents weren't having that.
No.
Talking back, looking crazy, walking out the room, acting the fool. Wasn't none of that.
No,
you know.
No.
First thing they could get their hand on, that would be what they used. So.
Well, and there was no such thing as child abuse back then in the black community. I mean, there was such a thing, but in the black community, they would put it on you. Minister Kwali said Proverbs 23:13. Is that the one that says, if you beat him with a rod, he shall not surely die? All right. Thank you, Minister Kwali. I know it's there because I read it several times. It says, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Amen. There you go. Proverbs 23:13. Thank you, Minister Qualis.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on. Again, we're in Genesis, the 26th chapter. And we talked about in our summary a few minutes ago that it's just a repeat. You know, the focus here is on Isaac's story, which reflects Abraham's story. Abraham, his father, encountered God in Haran,
mm-hmm,
and was called to journey to his new land, the land of promise.
Okay.
Remember that?
Right.
God told Abraham to leave and go to a place where he would show him. Well, Isaac encounters God, who told him to stay in the land of promise. A famine was forcing Isaac to go to Egypt to find food, but God told him to stay in the land of promise. Isaac received the covenant promise given to his father Abraham, a supply of offspring and financial blessings. Like Abraham, Isaac, fearing leaders might take his wife Rebecca, said that she was his sister, just as Abraham did with his wife Sarah. Remember we talked about that?
Right.
And Sarah was his sister, so to speak. It was his half-sister. They had the same father, but different mothers. Like Abraham, Isaac became wealthy. Isaac had it going on. I'm telling you, he had it going on by the time he got through. And both Abraham's and Isaac's wealth caused other leaders to fear their riches and their power.
So people were not only envious of how God was blessing, but they were also held in a position of fear by the other leaders, because during that particular period and during that culture, when you were wealthy and when you had great possessions and those kind of things, then it automatically pushed you to a level of leadership and respectability in the community, and you could almost buy whatever you wanted or made sure that you had it. And so the power came with the wealth during that particular time. Mm-hmm. And it's transferable even over
today
to what we're talking about today.
Yeah, today. The wealthy hold the power.
Right.
And so that's why there's such a power struggle within our government. Mm-hmm. Because the wealthy people want to hold on to their wealth and they want to get wealthier. And they, neglect or they don't want to help the poor. But it's the same as if it were, Bible again. Here we go.
Repeat.
It's a repeat.
Repeat.
It repeats just like a broken record. Starts all over again, or just a tape that keeps on playing.
Sister Angela gave you that other scripture in Proverbs
13:24.
I think that's the one about spare the rod and spoil the child.
Okay.
You're going to look it up, right?
Yes, there. I'll look it up, but you can keep on going.
All right. But this pretty much wraps up what's happening in this 25th chapter. And the lesson here is that we have to be mindful of the blessings that God bestows upon us. And then we have to trust God, even during a season of drought and a season of uncertainty, because all of this didn't just happen overnight. Mm-hmm. It was a process, because even though Abraham was given the promise by God, it had to fall to Isaac and for it to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And Isaac was the bearer of the promise. He was the seed of promise. And so all of this, it was a period of time that happened before they actually saw the manifestation of what God had spoken into Abraham's life.
Right. I found that scripture. Thank you, Sister Angela. Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them."
Does it have an age in there about?
It doesn't have an age.
So
no, but children are children.
Children are children.
And once they're born to you, they're always your children.
All right. I was just asking.
Yeah, children are always going to be your children.
Oh, that's not what I was making reference to. I'm talking about sometimes when they get to a certain age, they feel that
they're good and grown, but they're still your children. But in light of that, yes, they are still our children. But discipline also means, the meaning of discipline means to teach.
Okay.
So a lot of times when we think about discipline, we think about beating or spanking or, or reprimanding. But discipline means to teach. Mm-hmm. So we need to teach them in a different response. We need to teach them better. Does it mean a spanking sometime? Absolutely. I believe in corporal punishment. I received it, and I've dished out a fair amount in my day to my children, and I think it made me a better person. So,
which one you receiving or giving?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Both. But anyway, thank you for that, Sister Angela, for pointing us in that direction. We know it's there. We just, when we're talking off the top of our head, we just don't have time to look for it. Thank you so much. All right. So you going on? What was the lesson here, though?
That's what we were talking 26? About. How the blessing was. It may, even though it was delayed, when God speaks a word and when God gives revelation that something's going to come to pass, we have to trust the promise even when we don't have the possession. Mm-hmm. We have to stand on what God says He's going to do. And it sometimes seems as if God has forgotten about us, or there's a delay in what God said he's going to do. Mm-hmm. But God has to go through a process of us understanding and being obedient, you know, in order for us to fully appreciate, and then we have to know how to handle what he blesses us with. Mm-hmm. You follow what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because if we're not ready for the blessing, then we can misuse and abuse the blessing. But when we have fully allowed God to get us ready for what he has in store for us, when the blessing comes, it doesn't blow our mind. It doesn't throw us off track
right.
in terms of what God would have for us to do.
Right.
So if I were to win the lottery tomorrow night, I wouldn't be a fool in terms of my spiritual stewardship of what God would have me to do. But the only way I can win it tomorrow night, I have to play tomorrow night. You know, and so I'm not saying, but you know, that's like it
you're
is.
You're not saying? Well, what you saying?
I'm just saying. I'm just,
are
I'm
you just giving an illustration?
I'm just talking.
All right.
And so what you understand? I need to go get a ticket. Is that what you saying?
That's all you.
Well, it's legal. I mean, I'm not doing anything illegal, but no, I would understand the process of being
right.
a good steward.
I understand what
you're
saying.
And I'm not out there chasing the lottery
right,
to try
right.
to inherit the promise
the
of God.
Promises. We believe right. in the promises right. of God. We don't believe in chance and luck.
Right. And yeah. see, a lot of people get that confused, but we've heard stories and we've heard of people, what did Ms. Squally say?
Let us know if you do. No. We will not let you know, okay?
You say, where is Pastor Murray? Has anybody seen him? But no, there have been people who have won the lottery, won portions of it, and then turned their back on the very thing that got them to where they were spiritually, you know? Mm-hmm. And we've had examples of that even locally here in Memphis mm-hmm. about people who just went on, and they have, I think it's a life expectancy of, what, about 3 years, if you don't manage, but they show those stories, you know,
oh, yeah.
of people
yeah.
who won the lottery, and
yes.
they broke in 3 or 4 years, and 5 years, they back working and all of that.
Well, you know what, I believe, you know, if you don't know how to manage $100, you're not going to know
right.
how to manage $100 million.
That's right.
So it won't take long for you to run through that.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know how we got to that part, but we were just trying to make a point in terms of how important it is for God to get us ready for what he has in store for us. If not, we'll mismanage it when
mm-hmm.
we get it.
Right.
And that's what you were saying about if we're not tithing off of the $10 or off of the $100, it's going to be very difficult for somebody, if you had $1,000, to ask them to make a commitment to tithe, because they are really not being faithful in what they already have.
Right.
And
right.
so that's the whole essence of it.
Right.
I'm not encouraging anybody to play 3, 15, 32.
7 and 5.
Write that down, Reverend.
3, 15, 2, 7, 5.
All right.
No, yeah, he's so silly.
All right. We get,
okay.
Our time is getting away from
yes,
us.
Yes, it is. We're going to hit 27 right quick.
Did y'all get those numbers, or do I need to repeat them?
What y'all going to do with your pastor? Okay. All right. Chapter 27 is talking about obtaining the blessings.
There it is.
Obtaining the blessings. Chapter 27 of Genesis. The focus is on where the blessings are going. The blessing first given to Abraham was
mm-hmm.
then passed on to Isaac,
right.
but did not come to Isaac's firstborn,
right.
Esau, but to his second son, Jacob, breaking the ancient Middle East tradition, such as blessings of a father going to the firstborn son. Isaac desired that Esau, his eldest son, his favorite son, receive the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Rebekah, which is his wife, Isaac's wife, desired that Jacob, her favorite child,
right.
receive the blessing by concocting a scheme or by deception. Jacob carried out a plan by imitating or pretending to be his brother. Esau realized his blessing had been given to Jacob. Isaac gave Esau a blessing instead of the blessing. Isaac gave Esau a blessing instead of the blessing.
Okay. All right. A blessing instead of the blessing. Okay.
All right. Y'all got that? Isaac gave Esau a blessing instead of the blessing. We'll talk about that. A real and traditional blessing. Esau became enraged at Jacob and promised to kill Jacob, whose mother, Rebecca, intervened and sent him away to look for a wife. This not real blessing caused division in the family.
Wow. And so
we probably need to get into this a little deeper next week, because mm-hmm. you know it's I think that story between Jacob and Esau is important.
The deception of the mother and how they concocted this whole scheme in order to obtain the blessing. But as you said, he got a blessing, but it was not the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
same was true with. Who was that? The same was true when the firstborn child of Abraham was Ishmael, and he got a blessing, but it was not the blessing, because the blessing was there. What God had intended for it to be was for Isaac,
mm-hmm.
and so the firstborn. Child of Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's similar to what's happening here in terms of the repeats
mm-hmm.
that you see in terms of how, you know, one time, once you learn a lesson, it should be transferable, and you should make sure that other people don't make the same mistakes that you made, and that you mm-hmm. the blessing is not hindered because of our ignorance and our disobedience.
Mm-hmm. And I learned another new thing while I was studying. You know, I had to stop and look up the difference between a birthright and a blessing. And we'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
You know, because Jacob said, you know, give me your birthright. You mm-hmm. know, and he talks about Esau selling his birthright for some stew.
Right.
Because he was hungry when he came in from hunting. And so I had to look up, well, what's the difference between the birthright and the blessing?
Okay.
You know, I thought he gave up his, I thought the birthright and the blessing were the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of intertwined.
They are.
But you know, there's a little
difference.
Well,
that's why Rebecca concocted the scheme so that the blessing is transferable based on, and you're going to talk about it. Someone actually administering or anointing
transferring of that power.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. That's
right.
The blessing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. And the birthright is almost
the pecking order.
The pecking order. Right.
Yeah, yeah. The firstborn.
The firstborn
gets the birthright.
Right, and so when they went against the grain on that one, I mean, it was the first time. I don't know if it was the first time that it had happened, but it was against the tradition that was established. In terms of the firstborn receiving the inheritance or the blessing and the birthright,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
so when Rebecca, you know, did her thing, and so that just goes to show about all of the different deceptions that are in the Bible are still present even today.
Amen.
And how we use some of the same. Different kind of, it might be a different kind of circumstance, but really it's all about we're not doing what's right and what's honorable to God, and we're trying to come up with a scheme to try to get what God already wants us to have if Amen. We do it the right way.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's stop there, Lady Kim. I know this is getting good, and you got a lot more information there. But we're going to just pause there, and then we have an assignment for next week. You remember, did we write that down? But I know, sister.
She asked about the years, our years equivalent to the years, you know, back in the Bible, because they lived such a long time.
Right. Sister Gwen longevity. Is going to give us an update on that next mm-hmm. week, and then we'll talk a little bit about the birthright and the blessing. We kind of got into it tonight. Mm-hmm. And then we'll jump into chapter 27, 28, and 29 on next week, because part of what we did tonight was to kind of recap and kind of bring us back up to speed in terms of where we were. But we're going into a whole nother part in the Bible, in Genesis. And 26 through 36 is really going to be dealing with Jacob and how this whole thing began to make take shape and take form in terms of what God was doing with the blessing that he had originally given to Abraham when he spoke the blessing over him of the inheritance. And we see a lot of that coming into play mm-hmm. now.
Amen. Okay. Amen. All right. We want to lift up any prayer requests at this time. If anybody has any prayer requests, of course, we want to lift up Brother Daryl Taylor, who is in Baptist East Hospital. So lift up Brother Daryl Taylor. Sister Elaine Stevenson, I did not talk to her today, but she was in the hospital on Saturday that I know of. The last time I talked to her was Saturday. So lift up Sister Elaine Stevenson. And then I want to mention also our bereaved families. Mm-hmm. Lift up Sister Justine Duggar in the loss of her brother. That funeral is this coming Saturday, and well, it's a memorial service, and it will be held in Jackson, Tennessee.
Okay.
And lift up Minister Mary Shotwell, as well as her brother, Brother Eddie Price, that are dear members of our church. They lost their brother, Myron McCrary. And I talked to Minister Shotwell today, and God bless him. Her husband's brother passed away today.
What?
So Brother Larry Shotwell lost his brother, Robert Shotwell.
Wow.
So let's lift up the Shotwell Price families in our prayers. So much going on. Thank you for joining us, Sister Angela. We appreciate you being on tonight. And we invite you to come back every Monday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time. I don't know where you are, but it doesn't matter in this virtual world.
That's right.
So
that's
thank
right.
you for joining us. If there are any other visitors joining us tonight, we thank you for
thank
joining
you.
Us. And we just have an awesome time. I think we have an awesome time studying the Bible each Monday night. So Monday manna, feeding your soul with God's word.
All right. Is that what that's what it's called?
Monday manna.
Monday manna. We'll take that.
Monday manna.
Monday. All right. There's Brother Emil on the call.
Hey, Brother Emil Bransford.
Good to see
all
you.
All the way in Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, right.
Tell everybody we said hello.
That's right. Blessings on you. Okay. Lady Kim, will you close us out tonight with a
sure.
word of prayer? All right.
Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for all that you've done in our lives this day. It was a beautiful day here, God, and it's a beautiful day any day we wake up and open our eyes and we're able to move and live and have our being. We thank you, oh God, for continuing to bless us through your word. God, let your word be as fertilizer to our souls, oh God. And we thank you, God, for each individual who's on the Bible study tonight and those who will play back this Bible study. We ask God that you would continue to bless us as we go forward to understand your word, and not only to understand your word, but to change our lives so that our lives might line up with your will for our lives.
Thank you, God.
We lift up our bereaved families to you tonight, the Shotwell family, Price family, and the Duggar family, God. We lift up our sick to you tonight, God, especially Sister Elaine Stevenson and Brother Daryl Taylor, God. We lift them up to you tonight. And we also lift up Sister Evelyn Oliver to you, God. You know all about them because you made and you created them. So, God, we ask that you would touch their bodies, God, and heal them in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this time that we've had to share. And we love you, we bless you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, and praise God. Well, thank you all again for being a part of this particular time. And we look forward to seeing and having you be a part of it on next week. Isn't that right, Lady Kim?
Amen. All right. Amen. All right. Bye, everybody.
Be blessed.
Thank you.